Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is a good way, and walk therein. But the people said, we will not walk therein. I want to stay in the old way. What a promise that is we have tonight. We serve a risen Savior. One day we'll see Him face to face. Bless His holy name. Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. Isaiah, chapter number 6. Several years ago on an Easter Sunday morning, sunrise service, I preached out of chapter 6 of Isaiah on the death of a king. Tonight I'd like to look at Isaiah and see some things that he experienced. Isaiah chapter number 6. Verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. And twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken off with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Father, tonight we thank you for what we've already experienced in the house of the Lord, your presence. Thank you, Lord, as it's already been spoken, that promise that you're in our midst. I pray, Father, you'd cleanse me of any unrighteousness, any thought. Father, I pray that you'd help us get our hearts and minds upon you these next few moments. Speak to your people, stir our hearts, bless your word. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah, we know, was a great prophet. We call Isaiah, just because the length of his prophecy, the length of the book, a major prophet. Isaiah, we know his name means salvation of the Lord. You know, salvation and deliverance was a key theme. It was a key thought in the book, the whole book, the entire book of Isaiah. Isaiah, he loved his people. He was heartbroken over the land, the kingdom of Judah. He was broken because of their sins, because of their iniquities, because they had turned their back upon God. 26 times in the book of Isaiah, he cries, my people. Isaiah, he was a true patriot. He loved his God. He loved his nation, and he loved the people of God. We see here, Isaiah, though, as we read later on, he was a man that hated sin, and he hated sham religion. He hated those that just worship and say they love God with their mouths, but their hearts was far from it. He loved his Lord. He loved his nation. Matter of fact, the greatest name for Isaiah thanks for God in the book of Isaiah is the Holy One of Israel. 25 times he speaks of this Holy One of Israel. Isaiah, he was unafraid to confront kings and ungodly priests. Isaiah, he was unwavered when the public and the masses were against him. He was boldly declaring God's word. You know, this morning, Isaiah, I'm thinking about Isaiah and studying and reading through the book of Isaiah. Our pastor preached out of the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and he talked and he spoke and he made this statement that Moses spoke unto all Israel because they needed to hear what God had done for them in the past. They needed to hear about God's past blessings, how he was faithful in the past and he'll be faithful in the future. Isaiah was telling the nation that. He was telling them if they would just turn to God, if they would look to God, if they would just believe God and trust him, that all would be well. You know, this morning I was thinking and pondering on that thought, some things that Moses spoke, the blessings that Moses spoke to the people that needed encouragement and needed help from times past. Let me say tonight, there's some things that we need. We need God. We need Jesus. We need his presence. We need his power. We need his guidance. We need his grace. We need Christ. Isaiah experienced some of these things as well. And tonight I'd just like to look for a few minutes on some things that we need. Verse number 1. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, this was a great, great earthly king. Some say that Uzziah was the last of the great kings of the southern kingdom. He had died. Uzziah was a great builder. He was a great leader and a great general. He served God with all that was within him. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We see here this great earthly king, he had audience with God, but he also had audience with the people. The Bible says that his name was upon their lips. And 2 Chronicles tells us that his fame spread even unto the gates of Egypt. He was a great king. He was a godly king, and he served his Lord God with all he had. And to say in the year King Uzziah died was to say a lot, was to say very much. What would come to this nation, this kingdom Judah now? What would happen to the people? The people, this nation mourned. Isaiah had a great reason to be discouraged and to be disillusioned and to be disheartened, because their great godly king has now passed on. Uzziah's life, we know it ended tragically, died of leprosy. And God uses this earthly event, to open the very eyes of this great prophet. For Isaiah, his outlook, it was bleak. The king had died. The nation was in peril. There was little that he could do about it. There was Assyria invaded. All the surrounding nations were going to attack the nation of Judah and Israel. What were they going to do? The outlook was bleak. But let me say tonight, when this outlook is bleak, that uplook is very, very glorious. We see there's some things that Isaiah saw, and there's some things that we need to see. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. A great king has died. And he's left this earthly throne, but the greatest of all kings was still seated in heaven. God was still enthroned in heaven. The central fact, there's a central theme about heaven, and that is there's one that's enthroned, that's empowered on the very throne of God. Humanism says that there is a throne, but man sits upon it. Atheism and materialism says there's no higher power. There's no higher authority. There is no throne. But our Bible declares clearly that there is a throne in heaven. It's not occupied by fallen man. It's not occupied by some dignitary or some great earthly king, but it's occupied by the Lord God Jehovah. We find Isaiah saw, and there's some things that we need to see. It's my prayer. It's my longing and it's my desire that each and every one of us, this church collectively, could see the Lord God sitting on his throne just as Isaiah did. God, had to remove Uzziah. He removed Uzziah to open the eyes of Isaiah. He had to remove the idols of the people. You see, he was a great king. They trusted him and they followed him and they longed after this great king. I wonder tonight, what is it that's in our life? What is it? It's in our family or in our daily routine that is hindering us or keeping us from seeing the Lord God Jehovah. We see it's not until that weight, that thing, that weight that so easily besets us, not until that idols or that little g gods that are in our lives that are removed, that we can see for God for who he truly is. Seeing him in all of his majesty, in all of his righteousness, in all of his glory, in all of his honor. And we will be as Isaiah did. You see that change, this vision, this sight changed Isaiah the rest of his life. It changed Job. Job saw the Lord sitting on a throne. It changed David. David saw the God sitting on his throne. It changed Jeremiah. He saw the Lord sitting on a throne. It changed Ezekiel. It changed John the Revelator. And let me say, it'll change us when we see God for who he is sitting on a throne. That's my prayer, that we too could see the Holy One of Israel. Let me add tonight, it would change our worship service. It changed the way we witness. It would change the way we walk daily. It would change the way we worship and our willingness to serve. He saw the King, the one that's high, the one that's lifted up, the one that's exalted, the one that's holy, the one that's over all and above all. And may his train fill the temple of our lives. We see King Uzziah, no doubt, like all the other kings, wore a great earthly robe with a long train. A long train, just like a bride would wear, that's heavy, that's flowing, that's long, makes it hard to move, hard to work, and hard to labor. For one to wear a great robe, they were saying, I'm important enough, I don't have to work, I don't have to labor. For one to wear a great robe with a great train, they were saying, I'm a person of honor, I'm a person of dignity, and others have to serve me. And I don't know, I was thinking, I don't know all that transpired. I don't know all that Jesus accomplished, the task that he accomplished there on Calvary, taking on the sins of the world, taking on the ridicule and the judgment of God. I don't know all that he had to go through, but I do know, and I think the work that was done on Calvary is finished, is accomplished, and is done. But I'm thankful God is still working today. He's still creating today. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, recently made. He's still creating new kind, not restoring, not just a remake, but old things are passed away. And behold, take notice, look at this, all things are become new. May we see him as Isaiah saw him for who he is. May we see him in his train. May we see him high and holy and lifted up. May we see him exalted. May we see the Lord sitting on the throne. Isaiah, no doubt, was disheartened, discouraged. He was disillusioned because this great king had died. Nations in peril. People was wondering what's going to happen. When's the enemy coming? Isaiah, it looks pretty bad. Isaiah, your king has died. But I'd like to give Isaiah some encouragement tonight. He's still on the throne. So what could be wrong? It is well with my soul. Let the stormy waves roll. I'm reminded today, thank God I'm saved. He's still on the throne. There's some things I believe we need to see like Isaiah. I believe there's some things we need to hear like Isaiah. Notice their text. Isaiah, in verse number 2, it says, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. Let me say tonight, we serve a holy God. There's some things we need to hear. Jesus Christ is holy. He's holy, holy, holy. Isaiah sees the throne. He sees these seraphims above it. Some say these seraphims are angelic beings. We know the name means burning ones. Some say they're cherubims. I don't know. They get that from the Old Testament, how God dwells between the cherubims. We know in the book of Revelation, Bible calls them living creatures. They're burning, living creatures created by God. In the sixth chapter of Isaiah is the only time you'll ever see the word seraphim mentioned in your Bible. I don't know what they are, if they're living creatures, if they're cherubims, if they're angelic beings, these burning ones. The Bible said they cried one to another. Notice, they're not directly addressing God. They're not speaking directly to God, but between themselves, they're proclaiming Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, His glorious nature, His glorious character, and the essence. They were crying, "Holy, holy, holy." In the Hebrew language, they tell me to intensify communication is to be repetitive. To say God was holy, that was to say something. To say God was holy and holy, that was to say even more. But to say He was holy, 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 was saying that He's holiest to the greatest degree. I don't know why they were crying holy. Maybe because there was more than just one there. Maybe there was God the Father, He's holy. God the Son, He's holy. And God the Holy Ghost, He's holy. They were crying, holy, holy, holy. There's some things tonight we need to hear. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, is holy. These beings, they were created beings, probably, possibly the highest of all God's created beings. And they had one occupation. They had one job and one duty, just to praise and to honor and to give glory to the one that's due. But think, do these beings have more to thank God than you and I do? You see, these beings, they can't sing the song of redemption. They cannot sing, "I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." The Bible says they cried, "Holy, holy, holy," and the very doorpost of the throne was moved. Just the voice, the praise, the song, the adoration that these holy beings were crying made the doorpost move. The word is to tremble. The word is to shake and to sway. Let me say tonight, if they don't have more to thank God than we do, shouldn't we sing? Shouldn't we praise God with the same heart and the passion as these beings? There's some things we need to hear, that God is holy. There's some things we need to hear, that Jesus Christ the Son is holy. There's some things we need to hear, that God the Holy Ghost is holy. Isaiah saw some things we all need to see. Isaiah heard some things we all need to hear. Let me say thirdly, Isaiah felt some things we all need to feel. Verse 5, "Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone." I was thinking, as Brother Terry sang that song this morning, I was lost and undone. Isaiah found himself undone. He said, "For I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips." Isaiah feels like a man that's coming apart. He said, "I'm undone." He saw the Lord high and lifted up on His throne. He saw these seraphims. He heard what they were crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And Isaiah realized he was unlike this one. He saw the seraphims and realized he was unlike the seraphims. The Bible says they had six wings. Two they covered their face, two they covered their feet, and two they did fly. Covering their face, it's an act of humility. Covering their feet was an act of humbleness and humility. And with a two they fly was the idea of their service and their obedience to God. Yet Isaiah, he was just a man. He was a man of unclean lips. He was a man undone. I had a problem when it said he was a man of unclean lips. But again, to think about why he had unclean lips. The reason he had unclean lips is because he had an unclean heart. Jesus Christ, talking to those Pharisees, those religious hypocrites, he said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye be an evil speak good things? For out of abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh." You see, Isaiah, he had an unclean heart. And because of that, he had some unclean lips. And the sight of this holy God and the sound of this holy hymn of worship brought great conviction to Isaiah's heart. Isaiah, now he sees himself as undone. He sees himself as a sinner. He sees himself as an unclean man. And let me say tonight, Charles Spurgeon said about being undone. He said, being undone is a great place to be. God will never do anything for us until, first of all, he undone us. If you're undone here tonight, if you see yourself just as Isaiah seen himself, it's nothing to be ashamed of. That's a great place to be. He says Isaiah was a man of unclean lips. He was a man of unclean heart. And Isaiah, he comes to a place that you and I all will come to. He comes to a place face to face, a headlong meeting with the Lord God Jehovah. And no doubt, Isaiah was a man that looked righteous. He was a man that had a godly appearance on the outside. Yet when he saw the Lord, the Bible says, "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When he saw the Lord, Isaiah saw himself and how truly sinful he was. You know, tonight, I truly believe there may be some tonight in our presence, like Isaiah. You've saw the Lord. The Lord's spoken to you. You saw the Lord in his holiness, for he is holy, holy, holy. And you find yourself just like Isaiah, undone, unclean, a man, a woman, a young person of unclean lips. As I said earlier, it's nothing to be ashamed of, for that's a good place to be. You see, before we can ever minister to anyone else, we must let God minister to us. Isaiah's conviction, it led to Isaiah's confession, which led to Isaiah's cleansing. I was thinking about Isaiah. You know, if it worked for Isaiah, it surely worked for me. That night I got saved, birthed in the family of God. There was no one that come to me to tell me about the Romans Road. There was no one that told me what or how to pray. I found myself an altar just like Isaiah, and all I cried was, "Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, I don't want to go to hell. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, I don't want to go to hell. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, I don't want to go to hell." You see, I saw the Lord on his throne. I saw his holiness. I saw the lack of my holiness. And all that I did is like Isaiah said in chapter 45, verse 22, I looked to God. He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." It's something we all need to feel. It's something we all need to see. It's something we all need to hear. Let me say number four, it's something we all need to experience. Verse number 6. The Bible says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Here this seraphim takes tongs and grabs a live coal, a burning coal off the altar, and says, "Thy iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged." You see, Isaiah got saved just like everybody else gets saved. He got saved by the blood and by the fire. You see, it was the blood that was shed at the altar. And God, the fire that consumes the sacrifice. If this scene would have been on earth, it would have been from the brazen altar where the blood was shed. It would have been from that brazen altar where that fire of God consumed, ultimately consumed the entire sacrifice. But notice, the seraphims, they take a live coal. It's a hot coal, a burning coal, a very hot coal with a tongue, and touched it to his mouth. A live coal, burning coal, a radiant coal, and he takes it and he touches it to the lips of this great man. It must have been painful. It must have hurt. It must have blistered his mouth, the mouth, the lips being one of the most sensitive parts of the body. Yet, there is nothing written about Isaiah's reaction to the pain. A burning coal from my altar where the blood was shed. A burning coal from the altar where the fire of God consumed the sacrifice. Touched to his lips, yet no pain, yet no discomfort, yet no hurting. No wonder Isaiah went on to write, "He, Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." You see, this fiery coal did not hurt Isaiah, yet it healed Isaiah. It did not burn him, but it blotted out. It purged his sin. Jesus Christ, he took on the judgment, the fire of God, so you and I don't have to. One writer says, for Isaiah, it was more disturbing to see the holiness of God than to have a burning coal applied to his lips. Jesus Christ, he received that punishment. He received that judgment, that fire, so you and I don't have to. Notice the exchange. For Isaiah's sin, for Isaiah's iniquity, Isaiah's robed in the righteousness of God. You know, tonight I'm wearing a robe. It may not look much to you, and it may not entice the world. But the robe I'm wearing, it qualifies me and it enables me to walk the street of gold. It qualifies me to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, my Savior. What a transaction. What an exchange. It's something tonight we all need to experience. Our sins purged, iniquities taken away, sins forgiven. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphims flew unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken off the tongs of the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" Then said I, "Here I am, send me." Isaiah, he's seen some things you and I need to see. The Lord high and holy and lifted up. He heard some things we need to hear today. Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, is holy, holy, holy. He felt some things we all need to feel. That great conviction. When we come to an encounter with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and we see ourselves for truly who we are. But he felt something we'll all feel if we'll just call upon the name of the Lord. The forgiveness, the purging of our sin, peace in our heart, and joy in our soul. It's some things we all need to hear, all need to experience, and all need to see. He's holy tonight, church. May we see him high and holy. He's righteous. He died for us. He's altogether lovely. May we praise him and thank him with the same passion and the same intensity as these seraphims did. Let's all stand tonight. Misty, if you'll come to the piano.